Pretty much each of us has a big dream for our lives. Sometimes it's been forgotten, sometimes we're afraid of it, and sometimes we're just too busy for it. But that God-given dream is woven into our DNA. Hi, I'm Bernie Diamond, and welcome again to the program today as we kick off a new series of messages called Living Your Dreams. It's great to have your company again today. I'd like to begin by asking you three distinct questions. The first question is this: how many people do you know who are living out their dream? I mean, they've discovered who they are and what they're good at and what God made them for, and they're out there living it and loving it. Second question: how many people do you know who get up every morning, go to a job that they hate, come home, have dinner, watch the box, go to bed, just to do it all again tomorrow? And the third question is, which one are you? A dreamer living out their dream, or someone in a life that you just don't like? Now, there's some very good questions. It never ceases to amaze me how many people end up in the wrong job or the wrong career. But I guess when you think about it, we tend to make those choices when we're young. I mean, often we make those choices when we're teenagers or we're in our early 20s, and it's probably a time when we're ill-equipped because we don't have the maturity, we don't have the level of understanding of ourselves to make those choices. If I look back in my case, I had a choice of three basic careers when I left school. One was to do medicine and become a doctor. The other one was to do computer science at the Royal Military College, Duntroon. And the other one was a career as a lawyer and to do law at a particular university. I chose the middle one. The second one would have been fine too, but with the benefit of hindsight, I now look at the medicine choice and I think, what an absolute disaster that would have been. I hate the sight of blood, the notion of cutting people up or listening to their ills and woes in the doctor's surgery. I mean, I can't imagine doing that. So we make those choices, and sometimes they become like prison walls. We feel as though we're locked into them. And yet when we are young, sometimes we had dreams. We had dreams about what we wanted to be and what we wanted to do, but we forget those dreams as we grow up. We grow up and the dream becomes lost. It becomes, oh, well, I could never do that. Funnily enough, when I was 11 or 12, I had a dream to become a minister. Now, I didn't know exactly what that meant, but that was my dream. I remember it lit up my life for a time because for a short time when I was young, God had an impact on my life. I then grew up and went completely in opposite direction for the next 25 years. Forgotten dreams, though, have a way of nagging us. They have a way of coming back. Somehow, even though they're forgotten, they're there. The great Australian poet Banjo Paterson wrote an evocative and famous poem about a man who followed his dream and another man who didn't. It's a beautiful picture. The poem is called Clancy of the Overflow. Now, if you're an Australian, you'll know that poem really well. If not, have a listen. It paints a really beautiful picture, a beautiful contrast that we're going to come back to between one man who wishes he'd followed his dream and another man who actually did. Here it is, Clancy of the Overflow. I had written him a letter which I had, for want of better knowledge, sent to where I met him down the Lachlan years ago. He was shearing when I knew him, so I sent the letter to him just on spec, addressed as follows, Clancy of the Overflow. And an answer came directed in a writing unexpected, and I think the same was written with a thumbnail dipped in tar. 'Twas his shearing mate who wrote it, and verbatim I will quote it. Clancy's gone to Queensland droving, and we don't know where he are. In my wild, erratic fancy, visions come to me of Clancy, gone a-droving down the Cooper, where the western drovers go. As the stock are slowly stringing, Clancy rides behind them singing, for the drover's life has pleasures that the townsfolk never know. And the bush has friends to meet him, and their kindly voices greet him in the murmur of the breezes and the river on its bars. And he sees the vision splendid of the sunlit plains extended, and at night the wondrous glory of the everlasting stars. I am sitting in my dingy little office, where a stingy ray of sunlight struggles feebly down between the houses tall, and the fetid air and gritty of the dusty, dirty city, through the open window floating, spreads its foulness over all. And in place of lowing cattle, I can hear the fiendish rattle of the tramways, the buses making hurry down the street, and the language uninviting of the gutter children fighting comes fitfully and faintly through the ceaseless tramp of feet. and the hurrying people daunt me, and their pallid faces haunt me as they shoulder one another in their rush and nervous haste, with their eager eyes and greedy and their stunted forms and weedy. For townsfolk have no time to grow, they have no time to waste. And I somehow rather fancy that I'd like to change with Clancy, like to take a turn at droving where the seasons come and go, while he faced the round eternal of the cash book and the journal. But I doubt he'd suit the office, Clancy of the Overflow. It's a great poem, isn't it? It's beautiful. It's this contrast of a man sitting in this nasty office that he obviously doesn't enjoy, thinking about another man, Clancy of the Overflow, out there following his dreams. What's your dream? You do have one, you know. Psalm 139 says this of God. It says, He created our innermost being. He knit us together in our mother's womb. We're fearfully and wonderfully made. We weren't hidden from Him when we were made in that secret place. When we were woven together in the depths of the earth, His eyes saw our unformed bodies, and all the days ordained for us were already written in His book of life before even one of them existed. When we were being made in that secret place, God created our DNA. He created the things that we would be good at. And I believe as we were born, He planted dreams in our hearts. I was listening to one woman recently and she said, "Oh, Bernie," she said, "I don't have a dream. I just want to be a mum." I thought, how sad. I said, "Don't you understand? That is your dream. What a fabulous dream to want to bring children in this world and nurture them and see them grow and see them become powerful Christians living their lives out for Christ." Billy Graham had a mum. The Apostle Paul had a mum. Jesus had a mum. So maybe your dream is to be a mother, a wife. Maybe your dream is to be a businessman. Maybe it's to be a doctor or a minister or to be a tennis star or to work with the poor. We all have such different dreams. What's the dream that God has woven into your DNA when you were in your mother's womb? What's the dream that you dreamed for your life when you were a child, when you were a teenager? Are you like Clancy? Do you see the vision splendid of the sunlit plains extended? And at night, the wondrous glory of the everlasting stars? Are you someone who is living out your dream? Or are you sitting in your dingy little office where a stingy ray of sunlight struggles feebly between the houses tall? Over these next couple of weeks, on A Different Perspective, we are going to be looking at the subject of living your dreams. Imagine getting to the end of life. Imagine being old and sitting and looking back at life and remembering a dream that God placed in our hearts when we were young, and realizing that we hadn't lived it. Yet so many people go through life dissatisfied, doing things that they don't enjoy, struggling with who they are, and not living out that dream. There is a wonderful book called The Dream Giver, written by a man called David Wilkinson. If you go to our website, to this program on our website, you will see a link so that you can purchase that book. It is about living your dreams. It's one of the best books I have ever read, and we'll be referring to that over the next couple of weeks. We love sharing the gospel with as many people as possible so they can experience a real and tangible relationship with God. So before we go, I'd like to tell you about our free daily devotional to help you and your friends draw even closer to God. It's called Fresh. Each day you'll receive a powerful scripture together with some words of inspiration, hope, and encouragement. The best news is that it's free and delivered right to your inbox each and every day, where you can choose to read, listen, or watch the daily video. Completely up to you. It's God's Word, Fresh, for you each day. To receive your free devotional, just hop on the website freshdevotional.org. You'll see the Fresh e-devotional sign up waiting for you right there. And as a bonus, I'll also send you a free copy of my ebook, How Can I Hear God Speak to Me? So head to the website and sign up to receive Fresh.
We pray that your heart will be touched and transformed as you draw ever closer to Jesus through his word. That web address, again, in case you missed it, is freshdevotional.org. I'm Bernie Diamond, and I'll catch you again, same time tomorrow, with a different perspective.